Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Samaria Christian Church. We're happy to have all of you here. We're always happy to have a few visitors, and it's always good to have escaped one of the hottest weeks, we hope, of this year. Somebody said it was hotter than a dead atheist this week, and that's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. And today's Janet Wilkerson's birthday, so happy birthday, Janet. We survived our 64th wedding anniversary this last week, which is awesome. It's kind of, yeah, she deserves a lot of sympathy. I heard about this couple that had been married a long, long time, and they had a reception for them, and she was very hard of hearing, and he was kind of sitting across from her at a reception, and he was looking over and just kind of reminiscing. He said, I'm proud of you. And she said, what? I'm proud of you. And she said, what did you say? He said, I'm proud of you. She said, I'm tired of you too. Okay, enough of that foolishness. Let's stand and sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning, his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfires of hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our God is marching on. And then my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country, thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love the rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Our fathers guide to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
Greet some folks around you before you're seated.
Live free, live free. The Liberty Bell has an inscription that reads, this is from Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout the land. In its context, this referred to the year of Jubilee, where God's chosen people, the Jews, the Hebrew nation, were able to reclaim their land. Every 50 years, this year of Jubilee, they were able to reclaim the land that was theirs originally after they'd left Egypt, been in the wilderness, and then God led them into the promised land. We Christian Americans need to reclaim this land for God. The 4th of July every year reminds us of our freedoms and those who have gone before us. The freedoms that many fought for and many who gave the last full measure of devotion for. They gave their very lives. Let me refresh your minds for just a few moments on what we were taught in school about the founding of our nation and the Declaration of Independence. England had an arrogant king, King George III, and the Parliament that cared very little about the colonies on our East Coast. And as a result, there were many injustices inflicted upon the people of those 13 colonies. If you read the full Declaration of Independence, some of those are noted. Of course, the big one was taxation without representation. But it also refers to a time when they would arrest someone in the colonies and make them go clear back to England for trial. And some of the charges were just absolutely absurd. And again, if you read the Declaration of Independence, you will see some of those things that are noted there. Well, the people were not by nature revolutionaries. They were not anti-establishment. They just wanted freedom. They just wanted their rights that they believed were God-given. They wanted fair taxation. So in 1773, Ben Franklin called for a Continental Congress. They finally met in the next year of 1774, and Franklin spoke eloquently, but his words fell on deaf ears. People weren't paying any attention. They didn't think it was such that big a deal at that time. So in 1775, they met again. And even though the revolution had already started, Franklin's words had gone unheeded. On June the 7th, 1776, Henry Lee of Virginia, with fire in his heart and voice, made a cry for freedom from the bonds of England. On June 11th, Adams and Franklin and Sherman and Livingston and Jefferson and others formed a committee to form the basis of the Declaration of Independence. It was written down by a red-headed farmer, Thomas Jefferson, and he was only 33 years of age. It's kind of amazing when you think about all of this. It was presented July 2nd for consideration. It was also considered and debated again on the next day, on July the 3rd. And finally, on July 4th, 1776, 250 years ago yesterday, it was adopted and it was signed first by John Hancock. And I'm a direct descendant of John Hancock. I can't explain how, but I've been told that several times down through the years. Karen, on the other hand, is a direct descendant of Jesse James. And that's true, too. And she is a direct descendant of Andrew Jackson. And so anyway, we're all descendants of some of those folks if we go back far enough and can figure it out. Of those men, of those 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and some of them didn't sign it till later that year, like in October, but of those men, 47 of them were graduates of Christian schools and universities, colleges and universities. The average age was just 44 Franklin was the oldest at age 70. Livingston was the youngest at age 28. These men were Christian men. Did you hear that? These men were Christian men who believed in government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so they made a declaration of independence. Now, where did this idea come from? Where did Jefferson and Adams even find this? President Calvin Coolidge put it best, perhaps, when he said, "The real origin and great outline of our democracies was the result of religious teachings of the previous period. Was he right? Yes, he was. He was right. John Adams, the second president, revealed that he studied the scriptures every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday mornings. I don't know what he did Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he studied the scriptures. There's no other real explanation for the Declaration of Independence. Most of our presidents in our history were students of the Word of God and lived according to its principles. One of the most notable ones, of course, was George Washington. George Washington wrote his own prayer book, and he wrote those prayers, and then he prayed those prayers every morning and again every evening. Andrew Jackson read at least 3 to 5 chapters of the Bible every day. William Henry Harrison read the Bible every day. Rutherford B. Hayes read a portion of the Bible to his family every morning at breakfast. Benjamin Harrison, our own Benjamin Harrison, not only read the Bible every day, he taught the Bible verse by verse in Sunday school. In fact, the intellectual life of our founding fathers was based upon the Word of God and the meeting house called the church. As we know, people must do more than simply attain their freedom. They have to guard their freedom. They have to keep their freedom. And from the Revolutionary War to Bunker Hill to Valley Forge to Anzio, from the rice paddies in Vietnam to the bleak hills of Korea, from the sands of Desert Storm and all of that, many have paid the ultimate sacrifice to keep our freedom. I mentioned George Washington as our, of course, first president. There's an interesting story that came out a few years ago after 9/11. He was inaugurated as the first president in New York City. And he lived in New York City. And he attended a church called St. Paul's Chapel. Wasn't a very big church, but he was a regular attender there. And right after his inauguration, he went to that church and spent some time in worship and in prayer. Same day, just right after. Well, we know that when 9/11 occurred, there was a lot of damage and a lot of destruction, not only to the World Trade Center buildings, but to a lot of the buildings around it. This was on the same street, about 100 yards from it. There was a lot of debris, but not even one window was broken in St. Paul's Chapel. You can go there today and you can see the seat where George Washington sat. After 9/11, it was a place where firefighters and first responders, firefighters, police officers, soldiers, they made that sort of their headquarters for several months after 9/11. But isn't that amazing that, that this huge building fell, all of this debris? One writer said that they think there was a large sycamore tree that protected the building. I think God protected the building. So did you know that God is mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence, 2 at the beginning and 2 at the end? And anybody with any integrity, with any fairness of mind whatsoever, who read the Declaration of Independence or studied anything about the founding of our nation has to believe that it was founded as a Christian nation. Do you know that February 29th, 1982, the United States Court in the case of Holy Trinity versus United States declared that the United States of America was founded on Christian principles? That doesn't mean that everyone was a Christian, or certainly is not today. But it was the original intent that this nation was founded on Christian principles. Its morals, its rules of government, its general practice was to be Christian. Three presidents died on the 4th of July. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe. Funny thing here, Monroe's doctor kept him alive with brandy for 6 days so he could die on the 4th of July. He probably died a happy man. Calvin Coolidge was born on the 4th of July. West Point opened on the 4th of July. The song America was first sung on the 4th of July. Alaska and Hawaii, the 49th and 50th states were admitted to the Union on the 4th of July. So with all of our faults, and we have many, 4th of July is still a time to wave the flag. We need to stop being so passive about our patriotism. America was founded by godly men with a godly purpose. And without exception, this is the greatest nation on earth. The church gave us our institution of higher learnings. Harvard was established as a place to train men for the ministry of Christ. It was a preacher training school. Paul Harvey said the last time God's name was mentioned at Harvard was when the janitor fell down the steps. William and Mary was founded by the Anglican Church. Yale by the Congregationalists. Princeton by the Presbyterians. Columbia by the Anglicans. Brown by Baptists. Rutgers by the Dutch Reformed. Dartmouth by missionaries. Northwestern by the Methodists. University of Chicago, the University of Pennsylvania, and Butler University, both right here in Indianapolis, were founded by Christian church people. We have a number of Christian colleges, small colleges, like Ozark Christian College, where I attended, that are across our country. While higher education is a virtual foundation for free people, listen, there is no better way to be a great Christian, to be a strong Christian, than to be a faithful Christian. There's no better way to be a great American than to be a strong and faithful Christian. But our freedoms come with a price. As they say, freedom has never been free. Many have died, giving their lives so that we might be free today. Sometimes our freedoms are challenged. There's a Pearl Harbor, a 9/11, the Alamo, Desert Storm, Iraqi freedom. The call for men and women to respond has always been answered, and we pray that it always will be. But we should be the happiest, most grateful people on the face of the earth because we have so much for which to be thankful. And above all, we are a free people to worship God as we please. So what about the future of this nation? What about the future of our churches? What about the future of our schools? What about our individual freedoms that we enjoy to the point of taking them for granted? You know, we don't miss the water till the well runs dry, do we? We don't miss our health until we've lost our health. The same thing can be said of our freedoms. If we allow them to erode, we may wake to the horror of having lost one of the most precious God-given blessings of all, our personal freedom. The poet wrote once, "To every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side." Knowing what the 4th of July, knowing what our independence means, here are just a few lessons we need to consider and remember. Number one, material blessings can be a spiritual disaster. We have been blessed more than any other nation. We have so many blessings. But you know, sometimes if we're too blessed, if we have too much, we quit being dependent upon God. Our independence means that we're not dependent upon God when we're so blessed. My home church out in Oklahoma was founded during the Great Depression. And I heard my dad say several times over the years that he felt that was one of the times in our nation when people were really turning to God. I think we saw that right after 9/11. Our church at Greenwood Christian, we doubled our attendance the next few weeks. Of course, it faded away, but people realized that they needed God. And when we allow material blessings, when we become so self-sufficient that we don't depend upon God, we could get in a lot of trouble. But listen to this. If you can handle excess well, you're a mature Christian. I really believe that. You hear that? If you can handle excess, if you can handle material blessings, if you can handle the wealth that God has given, you're a mature Christian. Here's another point we need to remember. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace, or it condemns any people. Righteousness, being righteous people, being spiritual people, being moral people, being people who believe in God, people who trust in God, people who pray, people who are faithful to worship. Righteousness exalts a nation. So important to remember. Another thing that we need to think about here is destruction of a nation is preceded by signs and warnings. I'll spend a little more time on this. Destruction of a nation is preceded by signs and warnings. Remember, Noah preached for 120 years. You think I preach a long time. Noah preached for 120 years, and no one paid much attention. Sodom and Gomorrah were warned by Lot, and these messengers of God, these angels, but nobody believed them. Prophets warned of the nation of Israel, but Israel over and over and over again ignored the warnings. God is still warning us today. We know what's going on, don't we? We see pornography, drugs, abortion, millions addicted to sports as their god, gambling, celebrity worship. Did anybody get an invitation to Taylor Swift's wedding? Man, I looked in the mail every day. Never did see that. But you know, when you stop and think about that, our focus isn't where it ought to be. The destruction of a nation is preceded by signs and warnings. When we take the Ten Commandments off the walls of our courthouse and our schoolrooms, that's one thing. But when those same institutions are forced to advocate the very opposite of the laws of God, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Homosexuality is attacking the family. The destruction of the family brings a nation into ruin. It happened to Rome. It happened to the Great Britain. It happened to the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union. And I think it's going to happen right here in this country. It is pervasive. We have a whole month to celebrate so-called pride. Pride goes before destruction, which fits with that third point. Destruction of a nation is preceded by signs and a warning. Lois Chaney wrote this. She's got a book called God is No Fool. She said, they say God has patience, infinite patience, and that's comforting. They say he will take us back no matter what we do, and I love that. They say he will never give up on you, and I'm counting on that. They say we can all make mistake after mistake, and he will forgive, and he will. And that's good. They say a lot of things, these people who really don't know the Word of God. And that's sobering. Some of you will remember Jim Baker founded this television network thing, and he was raising money for this Heritage Village, something down in Carolinas, and ended up absconding with over $120 million, spent 5 years in prison. And the story is told that there was a minister whose book he found or read, and he liked this so much, he invited this minister to come and be with him in prison, pray with him in prison. And the guy came, and while they were talking about all of this, there was a lot of stuff, adultery, and of course all this wealth, fraud stuff going on. This minister said, "When did you stop loving Jesus?" And Baker said, "Oh, I never stopped loving Jesus." He said, "I just stopped being afraid of God. I lost my fear of God." And I think that's a possibility for all of us. That's a possibility. God, she said, has never stopped being God. She said, "Christ gave us a new view of God in the New Testament, which is full of grace. The Old Testament was full of judgment and legalism, an eye for an eye. But now," she said, "we have grace." But God has never stopped being God. "Whatever man sows, that shall a man reap." And that's out of the New Testament. "Whatever a man sows, be not deceived. God is not mocked." Again, New Testament. So the 4th of July is about freedom, not from religion and not from God, not from morality, not from righteousness, but for our faith, for our hope and trust in Him. Many have fought and died for our freedoms, but Christ died to set us all free. America has no exclusive claim on God. He loves the people in Iraq and Iran and China and every other nation just as much as He loves us. We meet here to worship the God of the universe, not just the God of America. Yes, He's poured out His richest blessings upon us, and we should be deeply grateful for that. And yes, we were founded by men of faith, and our laws and our governing principles have come from His book. But our faith in Him supersedes American patriotism. Are you free in Christ? I hope you are a Christian first and foremost. Jesus died. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for our ultimate freedom. And we have no right to equate American patriotism with Christianity unless we live it in our lives. As American Christians, we have every right to be deeply grateful to God. We are Americans by birth, but we are Christians by the second birth. Let's demonstrate our dependence upon Him, His laws, His love, His freedom for everyone, those enslaved by sin. Let's be free to live the freedoms for which so many have died. But most of all, let's live for Him who ultimately set us free. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this reminder of where our nation came from, and we are so blessed, so deeply grateful for those who've gone before us, for those founding fathers, for those down through these last 250 years who have made an effort to live for You. None of those founding fathers were perfect. We're all sinful men. Some of them we know were into slavery. Some of them were far from perfect in their moral lives. But they did have a hope and faith in You, and they built a foundation upon which we can still stand. I pray this nation will turn back to You, that, like that saying on the Liberty Bell, that we can reclaim this nation, this land, back for You. We pray for a revival in our country. We pray for our president. We pray for our senators and congressmen. We pray for the people involved in all the various departments of government, the federal bureaucracy, which we know is huge. We just pray you'll give those people wisdom and strength to do the right thing. We pray for the spiritual leaders of our country. I pray for pastors and church leaders across our nation, that we will all repent and turn to you as we should. Bless now our time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this invitation song, I Surrender All.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all,
I surrender all.
I surrender,
I surrender all.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Well, thank you for being here. Attendance is a little thin today. I have some folks traveling in a way, but I'm glad you're here. We're going to be gone next week. Pray for us. We're going down to the beach just north of Myrtle Beach with 11 of our closest friends, family, and three little ones, 4, 2, and 1, and there's going to be 13 of us in this condo, and I may just go out and drown myself. we go down, they all live in Tennessee, and we have 2 grandkids, our son and their 3 grandkids, and then our 2 grandkids and their spouses, so it's going to be a mob, but we're looking forward to it. Larry's going to preach. You'll get to hear some good preaching next week. So I hope you'll come and bring folks with you. But we're grateful for the opportunity to be away. We'll be back the following week, the Lord willing. But it's sure good to see each one of you here today. And let's just pray for our country. Let's just lift it up every single day. Pray for our president. Pray for all the nation's leaders. I don't care if you like them or not, pray for them. The less you like them, the more you ought to pray for them. And that is true. Fred, you're sitting back there with a microphone. Would you say a prayer for us, a benediction?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come into your church and celebrate your life, Lord. And we just thank you, Brother Sham, for giving us the message today. And we just thank you for this freedom, this America that you've given us, Lord. And we just thank you so much. We just ask that everybody be safe. Journey's going home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Sing this out.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home.